Welcome to episode 449 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther. And this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms.
Hey, Richard, it is nice to finally be back after a couple of weeks off. And now this show is a little bit harder to line up because I'm suddenly sick. Being sick in the summer is no fun. But there's a lot of news this week that we had to get in, especially because we've got E3 next week. So there's going to be a lot of your favorite news to discuss next week, gaming news.
Yay! You know, I'm very excited about it. In all honesty, usually there's a lot of cool stuff that comes out of there, even if it's not for stuff that I'm personally going to use.
Right. Well, we don't have any listener feedback for this week. If you'd like to send us some, our email address is entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, or find the rest of our contact information at the end of the show, or just head on over to thedigitalmediazone.com and find it all there. So with that, let's get into our featured story this week. And that is YouTube is sort of messing with all of their music stuff again.
I've
lost track of how many times they've rebranded and relabeled and moved things around and called things different things. But again, they're now what seems like getting rid of eventually what we call Google Play Music right now and replacing it with what I think is a new service called YouTube Music. YouTube Music is a new name, right?
Well, actually, not exactly. So there was YouTube Music before. It was a part of the YouTube Red subscription, from what understand. And YouTube Music has always been video-based. What's different about this is that it appears that they're trying to move the audio music services that people currently think of Google Play Music for, and they're going to put that into YouTube, call it music. It's going to be audio based, not video based, which is weird. And you'll pay $10 a month for a subscription. They've already soft launched it. So there are people who have access to this now. It will be rolling out slowly to people. If you're a Google Play Music subscriber, you will get access automatically. This will just come as part of your subscription. And you're right, the intent is that at some point in time, which as far as we know isn't going to be until next year, they're going to retire Google Play Music for some reason. And all the music stuff is then going to be under the YouTube label. Now, that's not all they're changing, because, you know, while we're rebranding, let's get rid of the terribly named YouTube Red.
Right.
And they are. And that is now going to be known as YouTube Premium. And so YouTube Premium and YouTube Music, you'll be able to get as a package for just a couple extra dollars, and you'll get access to all of the on-demand original programming, and you'll get access to the music stuff. So that's a pretty good deal. Now, why are they doing this? Who knows why they're doing this? But one of the things that they say you're going to get out of this is the benefit of their, they say, AI-based suggestion engine that YouTube uses, and that will now be making music recommendations. And it will consider your YouTube viewing history as part of that algorithm. That's kind of cool. As far as I'm concerned, that's really the only reason that I can imagine that you would want to slam these two things together.
Yeah, that's definitely the biggest benefit. And just to be super clear about like that YouTube Premium thing, that also gets you a YouTube experience without ads. And that's kind of a big deal.
Oh, right. It's funny. I always forget that that's the thing that you're really paying for, because that whole model of pay and don't get ads on YouTube is still so weird to me because I always think of, oh, it's YouTube. Of course you have ads. That's just how YouTube works.
Right. So there's a new app for this also. I still don't really understand they've still got a naming issue here, right? Like YouTube Premium for their premium viewing service of YouTube makes total sense. But mm-hmm. YouTube Music as an audio-only music service doesn't make sense. Like lots of people use YouTube for music. It happens to be videos. Right. But that's not what this is. So they still have a weird disconnect here on the naming of things. They've now got this kludgy, like, why do we have two apps for the same thing going on? But
Three, because there's also YouTube TV, don't forget.
Well, yeah, but that's not a music app.
No, I know. But, you know, you just keep on adding to this corpus of apps that are all kind of, I don't know, circling down the drain of the same brand. I don't understand their strategy. This is Google trying to out Microsoft in branding.
I was actually thinking basically the same thing, that Google has been following Microsoft's lead down so many wrong directions for so long that it just makes sense that they would be as terrible at naming things as Microsoft always has been.
Oh, man.
But AI, whether or not it's actually AI, YouTube's recommendation engine makes total sense for a music service. I anticipate that it'll probably end up being better than any of their competitors like Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, all that stuff, just because that's what they're good at. So that is exciting. And Richard, I know you've, over the last 6 months or so, have been on a little bit of a quest to really solidify what your music service would be. You gave up on Spotify a while ago. Have you officially landed anywhere? And even if you have, does this YouTube Music announcement make you think, well, maybe it should be YouTube Music?
So at no time did I have that last thought you just mentioned. I wouldn't say that I have permanently landed anywhere. I'm currently living in Amazonville, and I will probably stay there for the near term. As I've mentioned in the past, I'm probably going to end up moving just to Apple Music because that's the most compatible with everything else that I have.
Right.
But I like the Amazon stuff. The Amazon Music service works really well for me, and the added benefit of that right now is that I can tell my Echo devices what music I want to listen to over my Sonos speakers because I subscribe to the Amazon Unlimited plan.
Wouldn't that work with pretty much every other service except for Apple Music?
It only works with about 4 services, actually. So right now, I don't think Google Play is one of them.
Oh, okay. That's a good reason. That is a really good reason. Like having voice assistant compatibility is a major reason for picking a service.
Yeah, I think it's just limited at this point to Deezer, Spotify, Pandora, and Amazon.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we move on to some video news? Hulu now offers 5.1 surround sound on select devices, and our particular listeners are going to be so excited because the Xbox One is the first and only device to support Hulu's surround sound. So, yay, at least us Microsoft fans finally get a win, right?
Right. So, finally is the operative word here. I will bet that there are people who aren't even aware of the fact that Hulu has not offered surround sound at all on any device on any content until now, because how ludicrous is that?
Right. Well, how many services do? I mean, I know that Netflix has 5.1.
Netflix has 5.1 and Atmos.
Oh, that's true.
Also, Vudu has 5.1 and Atmos.
How about Amazon?
Amazon has 5.1. All the major services offer surround sound. Hulu was really the last holdout. And this is one of the reasons why I've been pretty frustrated and disappointed with my HBO service that I got through Hulu. I'm only paying $5 a month for it, so how much can I complain? But it's not in surround. And almost all of HBO's content is in surround sound. So that was a, you know, kind of a big turnoff for me. So yeah, now it's going to be available on the Xbox One. Really, right now, I think that's the only supported device.
Yeah. Yeah, and I got to imagine it's going to come to pretty much everything else fairly soon. But yeah, that's kind of crazy. You know, I wonder how many of the other like pay TV services, you know, because you can compare Hulu to Netflix and Amazon Video and things like that as like a binge watching service. But what about when you compare it's bigger TV focus, similar to like Sling TV and PlayStation View and YouTube TV. I don't know how many of those have 5.1, and I would hope that all of them do. And frankly, there's no reason that any of these services shouldn't support 5.1. It is not a bandwidth issue. This takes such a tiny amount of data to send these few extra channels of audio data. So there's just no reason not to be doing this.
Yeah, so this is one of those things where it's about time. I'm glad to see it. I'll definitely check it out. And I hope we're going to see it on other platforms, Apple TV, real soon.
Yeah.
All right. Well, while we're talking about audio-related video content, that's a really good lead-in to our audio section. And here's where we talk about our favorite product to talk about on this show. What's that, Josh?
YouTube?
Kodi.
Kodi, that's it. MB. No.
I'm Plex. Just messing with you. Yeah, so Plex had some updates, and these are in their beta channel right now, but some pretty big news as far as the direction that Plex is going. Plex has added support for podcasts in their beta applications. It's currently available on iOS, Android, Roku, and on the web. And here's the kicker. You don't have to run a Plex server to use this. You can just have a Plex account and use their service to subscribe to whatever shows you want to listen to and then stream them through Plex. It lets you subscribe. It keeps track of new episodes for you. It has a really good player that lets you change the speed playback of the playback and stuff like that. It has full show notes. But here's the negative kicker, or the kickback. There we go, the kickback. There's no offline support yet.
Yeah, and I wonder how big of an issue this is for people. Because I think a lot of people do stream their podcast, but that certainly isn't me.
And it's not me, because oftentimes I'm listening to podcasts when I'm on the road and I don't always have service, or when I'm in a plane. And yeah. I certainly don't have service that can support that. So that's a no deal for me, but it's an interesting move for them. And it kind of reinforces what you and I were talking with their people about at CES, where they really want to be the place you go to get all the content.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of opposite of what I want to see them do. I really want to see them better integrate with other environments. Like I'd like to see them expose their search data to Roku and to Apple TV and become a more integrated part of those ecosystems. But they want to be the place. They want to be the home base. And I'm not convinced that any app should be that.
Hmm. Do you think that Plex has plans to integrate the podcast stuff into the server so that, you know, you could say, I want to subscribe to this podcast, on my Plex server, and when those new episodes come, it'll just download them to your server. I'm not sure that that helps, though.
No, I don't think
it probably doesn't help.
Well, it could help in that you could then sync those things that you wanted to from your server the same way that you would sync any other content.
That's
I just don't think that that's efficient. I think that what they'll probably do is do local downloads and just give you the ability that when you subscribe, it will automatically download those episodes, pretty much like any other podcast player.
Yeah.
Good news. We're out there.
You know, I did find one kind of annoying bug with this. Maybe it's not a bug, but I tried this in a web browser and I was playing around with it and I'm like, oh, they do have show notes. That's good. Oh, and this is a web page, so I can probably even click on the links while I was listening to the latest Home On through Plex in the web browser. And so I clicked on one of the links and it opened it in the same tab,
which was
means
the
that my
application
Plex app went away and I'm no longer listening to the podcast.
Yeah, they need to probably automatically redirect those to a new tab. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, so not a huge deal, but, you know, kind of annoying because pressing back doesn't take you right back to where you were.
This is beta.
Right, it is.
So
I'll fix it.
They have already said that they're going to be adding more capabilities, and I'm sure they're looking at stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, good to see this. Now, this isn't the only thing that they changed. They also have updated the iOS and Android apps so that you can customize your homepage. And this is a great thing. Previously, you really only had the ability to say whether you wanted a library to be included on the homepage or not included on the homepage. And now you're going to have far more discrete capabilities in terms of adding different sections, maybe, you know, how your homepage has stuff that's been added recently. It has stuff that has come out recently. It has stuff that you haven't watched recently. So all of those sorts of things are going to be customizable. You can slide them around, put them where you want them, get rid of them. I think that'll be a nice addition, particularly when we get that on 10-foot interfaces.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's where I really want it. But customization in a 10-foot UI with just a D-pad can be tricky to do well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it can. And I would assert that their library selection menu is a classic example of how tricky that can be.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, the you know, we don't always have audio news, but we not only have one audio story this week, we have three. So let's move on to our second one, and that is one from Pandora. This is another one of those stories where I saw this headline and I thought, wait, this wasn't already a thing? And that's that Pandora now has an unlimited family plan. Really? They didn't already have a family plan? It seemed like everybody already had a family plan. And I didn't really know because I haven't used Pandora in years, probably. Yeah, Pandora, like Spotify, like Apple Music, like whatever the crap Google is calling their music service today, added a family plan. Now you can have up to 6 family members on one account. It's $15 a month. This is basically the same as Spotify and Apple in terms of pricing. And it just expands that Pandora premium service to multiple accounts, just like Spotify does it. So you get the higher quality audio. You don't have to deal with ads. You're not limited on skips and stuff like that. And you have the ability to download music for offline playback. So again, 6 family members, $15 a month. This makes total sense if you're a Pandora user. I'm still just shocked that this hadn't been around forever.
Isn't there still one service that doesn't yet offer a family plan?
No, they killed that service. It was called Groove Music.
Oh, hey! That was an unintentional segue.
Nicely done. Yeah, and speaking of Microsoft killing Groove-related things, Microsoft is killing the Groove apps. at least on iOS and Android, coming later this year, December 1st, actually. This was kind of surprising to me. Maybe it shouldn't have been.
Yeah, why is this surprising? What good is that app for anymore? It'll play the music that you have on your OneDrive. That's it.
And I think that's kind... Well, I think it'll play local music on your phone, but I don't know
for
sure.
Not on iOS, it won't.
Oh, it doesn't? Okay. Well, iOS is weird. I don't know about on Android. I bet I don't even have the app installed on my Android phone because... I do have my music library in OneDrive, but I've said it a million times before. I just listen to Spotify. I don't need my personal music library anymore. I've got Spotify. So yeah, that is the main feature, being able to stream your music from OneDrive. Now, this doesn't impact the Windows 10 Groove app at all. It doesn't impact the Groove app on the Xbox. It doesn't affect it if you're still running a Windows phone. All of those apps still the same. But I do have to wonder, how much longer will those apps even support the OneDrive streaming? Because if that's all that most people were using the Android and iOS apps for, in terms of usage, is it really that different for people on an Xbox or a Windows 10 box? And apparently on iOS and Android, not enough people were using it to warrant continued development of the app. I don't know. Maybe that functionality is going to go away too.
I have to imagine it will. I mean, come on, let's look at the numbers just as a matter of market share. Yeah, maybe there weren't that many people relatively on iOS and Android using Groove Music, but I'll bet that number is still bigger than people on Windows Phone using Groove Music as sure. Just an absolute number. Yeah. And so I have to imagine that that is going to go away too. I think right now, Microsoft is trying to be, let's say, kind in how and when they're retiring Windows Phone applications.
Yeah. Well, but I wonder even how long this functionality will exist for the Windows 10 desktop Groove app. Like maybe get rid of OneDrive integration entirely.
Right. What purpose does that serve? And one of the things that they recommend is that, when you want to play your music from OneDrive, go to OneDrive. You can stream it right from OneDrive. Of course, you can't create playlists and stuff like that, but you can stream music one file at a time.
Sounds great. Sounds exactly like how I prefer to listen to music. We've got a better solution, and it's probably not going to surprise anybody. Plex.
Yeah.
Put all your music in Plex. You don't even need your own server, because you could do Plex Cloud. I have no idea how well that works. And I think Plex integrates with OneDrive for cloud. I know they support multiple backend services like Dropbox and Google Drive. I'm pretty sure OneDrive is in there. So you could throw all of your music in Plex, whether it's your own server. How many of our listeners don't already have their own Plex server? Probably not many. But if you're one of them, you could throw it in Plex Cloud and listen to your music via iOS or Android through Plex. So that's probably your best bet. Do you have any other ideas for people wanting to listen to their own music on iOS or Android?
Nope. I think you got it. I think Plex is the best option if you want that cross-device compatibility. That's the real thing here, right? Because I could say, you could put the music up on one of the music locker services, but those are usually limited to those devices. I don't know, for example, if you subscribe to Google Play Music, whatever it's called, where you put your files up there, if you can play those on an iOS device. Maybe you can. I don't know. I haven't tried it.
The answer is always Plex.
Yeah. Use Plex.
All right. On to our gaming news. We're not going to discuss a ton of gaming news. That's what next week will be for. But just so you all know, E3 starts this weekend. Well, it kind of technically starts Monday, I guess. But E3 has become exactly like CES, where the conference may start on a particular day, but everybody else has to get their stuff in first. So EA has a press conference on Saturday, and most importantly, Microsoft's is Sunday. So you can live stream Microsoft's Xbox E3 press conference Sunday, June 10th. It is at 1 p.m. Pacific or 4 p.m. Eastern. You can watch it right on your Xbox, of course. You can watch it in a web browser using Mixer. If you're going to watch it on your Xbox, that stream is going to be in 4K, which is always awesome, especially when they're showing 4K demo videos of upcoming games. So that's how I'll be doing it. That's how I would recommend doing it. And I don't think they've announced it this year, but last year they were doing their Mixpot things where if you were just logged in with your Microsoft account watching the Mixer stream, they would give you free stuff. There was I think they included Rare Replay and, you know, a free game, you know, plus some other random goodies. Cool. So watch it, like just sign in. There's no reason not to, really. You want that information anyway. Also, getting a jump start on all of the E3 fun, Microsoft is doing a big Xbox sale. They're saying that this is a sale for E3 week, but it starts Thursday, June 7th. That's like 5 days before E3 even starts.
Well, you know why?
No.
That's so you can get your device, get it home, set it up, start playing with stuff before you go to E3.
Okay. I'll go with that. I don't think that's it, but I'll go with that. There's a few things worth noting in this sale. Maybe the most important one is this is the first time we've seen the Xbox One X officially discounted. $50 off the Xbox One X. That drops it down to $449. The One S units are also on sale. They're $50 cheaper, so $199 or $249 for the 500 gig and 1 terabyte models of that, respectively. As they normally do during these sales, you can pick up a 1 month subscription to Xbox Live Gold or Xbox Game Pass for only a single dollar.
Wait, that's, can you get 12 of those?
I don't know if they, I don't think they stack. I don't think they stack. There's no way they stack. But those are always a good thing to have. Like if your subscription is lapsed, you should get those just because when they do their weekly deals with Gold and Spotlight sale, you get bigger discounts if you're an Xbox Live Gold subscriber. So pick that up if you don't have one of those. If you're looking for new controllers, they're doing $10 off basically all controllers. If you want one of those fancy Game Lab controllers where you get to design it, those are also marked down to starting at $69.99. And then, of course, games. They're saying games will be up to 75% off. But in the same article, it also said the games will be starting at $19.99. I'm not exactly sure how to make all that math work. That doesn't sound like 75. I'm not sure. Whatever. Games on sale. Good news. This is online and at retail locations. Obviously, you're not going to buy an Xbox One X from the Microsoft store where you get games. So at a lot of your retailers, you'll be able to get some of these details also. And then the other weird one that even if you may have already looked at this story, you probably didn't see this very last little tidbit. A few, many episodes ago, we talked about how Mixer was adding the ability for Mixer streamers to allow people to buy the content that they're playing while watching the stream. And if they do that, the streamer gets a small cut of the order. So if I'm playing Final Fantasy and streaming that, you can purchase Final Fantasy right from Mixer without leaving the stream. You get it, and I get a small cut. During this sale, if you do that, if you buy some content through a Mixer stream, as long as that content is worth more than $9.99, you'll get a $5 Microsoft Store credit. So that's cool. Spend $10, get $5 back. Pretty good. I like it. Again, that starts June 7th. I don't actually know how long it goes. They said it's for E3 week, but it starts a few days before E3. Does it only last a week? I don't know. Does it go until the end of E3? I don't know. They didn't actually say. So if you want any of this stuff, you'll need to jump on it fairly quickly, I'm guessing. Another thing you always need to jump on quickly are the deals with gold and the spotlight sale of the week. These are, of course, the Xbox digital game sales that are going on. And there's a few titles that stand out to me that you might want to look at. The first one is Divinity Original Sin. This is a pretty hardcore fantasy role-playing game. This one I've only heard good things about. I've not actually played it. It's a fantasy role-playing game. But one of the things that's nice about it is it actually has co-op, like co-op campaign, even couch co-op. So that's always nice. And it's marked down to $10. It's really kind of a nice starter because they also just recently released Divinity Original Sin 2. So check this one out. See if you like the series, play through it with a friend, and then get Divinity Original Sin 2 whenever you're done with it. Another role-playing game you might want to check out, Torment Tides of I've never heard anybody actually say this one. Numenera? Sure. That's what I'm going to go with. It's $15. That's like a $40 game normally, so nice big discount on that. And while I almost never actually point out 360 games that are available during these sales, there's two here that you probably want to check out. Red Dead Redemption is actually on sale, $9.89. I believe that's still normally $30. It's Xbox One X enhanced. The sequel is coming out this fall. This is an obvious no-brainer for anyone who hasn't played it or anybody who just wants to play it again and not deal with disc. Go and pick that up. And another crazy one, I bet Richard is looking at this list and wondering why in the world I have this on here. Rockstar Table Tennis. Yep,
whatever. Table Tennis. Whatever.
For you gamers, for you hardcore gamers, you know why this is on here. Rockstar, the company that brought us Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead Redemption back during the 360 timeframe, released a table tennis game, and it was actually really good. And they just announced that it's being made backwards compatible, and it's on sale for $5.99. So if you're looking for a fun little table tennis game, there you go. $6.
Whatever.
All right. It's also a new month, which means new games with gold. But first, the one that's still lingering from the last month. Up until June 15th, you can still grab Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, for free if you have an Xbox Live Gold subscription. For the entire month of June, you can get Assassin's Creed Chronicles Russia. This is not a traditional Assassin's Creed game. The Chronicles games are the ones that are more like 2.5D platformer sort of games. And this one takes place in Russia, obviously. Then June 16th through July 15th, the Smite Gold Bundle. Smite is a MOBA. If you're into MOBAs, you probably know about Smite. This includes like access to all of the playable characters and things like that. So definitely want to hop into Smite if you're into MOBAs when you can get basically all of the content for free. Yeah. What's a MOBA? A multiplayer online battle arena.
Okay.
I would rattle off the names of other really, really incredibly popular MOBAs, but you probably wouldn't have heard of those either.
Probably not.
So we'll just move on, Richard. June 1st through the 15th, Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed for Xbox 360. It's a kart racer with Sonic the Hedgehog and his friends. June 16th through the 30th, Lego Indiana Jones 2, The Adventure Continues. Could the subtitles continue? Holy cow. Also an Xbox 360 game. And as usual, those 360 games are backwards compatible and can be played on your Xbox One. All right, Richard. Right. That's our gaming news.
It is. Why don't you wrap us up with a rumor? Because we don't often talk about rumors. We try to avoid them.
Yeah, but this one looks pretty credible and kind of plays into a lot of the other news that we've been getting out of Microsoft. It looks like, according to Windows Central, The Xbox One will soon work with other digital assistants. And by those, we mean that really popular assistant from Amazon and the Google assistant. We don't really technically actually know what that means. All Windows Central has is a screenshot of a supposed screenshot, I suppose we should say, of the Xbox settings app that has a page that says that it works with Amazon and Google's assistants and a checkbox to enable that. Doesn't say what it does. It doesn't say what you can have that assistant do for you. But one would assume that you'd be able to do all of the things that you used to be able to do just through your Kinect or with Cortana and your Kinect, but instead do it through like your Echo or your Google Home.
Well, right. So I think that's the important thing here. I don't want to mislead people to believe that you'll have Google's or Amazon's assistant on board. I very seriously doubt that's what they're doing. Instead, what they're probably doing is that if you own one of those assistant devices, then you'll be able to use it to control your experience. Now, this really makes perfect sense, particularly considering that most of these products are experimenting or implementing protocols and vernacular that can support and drive a TV experience.
Mm-hmm.
So why not extend that to the console somehow? And certainly with all the different video options that you have on the console, that would make a whole lot of sense. I guess I'm curious how far this will go in terms of parity to the capabilities that you could previously use and still can use your Cortana interface for. Why is this interesting and important? Well, you know, I was looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, yay. Like, who cares? They already have Cortana. This is stupid. Why would they do this? But with many people, most people nowadays who have an Xbox One, they don't have a Kinect.
Right.
And so you can't just talk to your Xbox One the way that you and I can.
Right. Yeah, your only option is to use a headset plugged into a controller.
Right.
Which means that I have to already be playing a game.
Right. Now, what is interesting is this raises the question to me, well, what about Cortana-enabled speakers? Are they going to get there? Because you and I have speculated about that in the past. But at this point, I think the future of Cortana-enabled speakers is even kind of, you know, murkier than it was back in January, if that's possible.
I think it's dead. I don't think we'll see another one. I mean, Microsoft is, you know, they're saying that Cortana is being moved from being an assistant to being more assistance to other platforms. Like, I
don't even know what that means.
Going away.
Like, I don't understand that. That sounds to me like someone trying to explain a change to their product vision while they're still trying to figure out their new product vision.
That's very possible. That is Microsoft after all. But when they had build a few weeks ago, I was strongly getting the impression that they're looking more at Cortana as a back-end service for other things. And Amazon's assistant is one of those things that Cortana could be a back-end assistant to.
Yes. Yes, I can. Yes, I get that. Okay. All right. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I think that Cortana is basically going to eventually go away as something that regular end users call up by name to do anything with. That's what I think is going to happen.
All right.
And if that's the case, then there's no reason for there to be any more Cortana-enabled speakers.
Josh, just put a flag in the sand today, June 6th, 2018.
It's true.
Time frame?
Time frame? Well, I don't know that, and this isn't me weaseling out of it. I don't know that you're going to be able to put one on it because I don't think Microsoft will like announce it one day. I can say that I firmly believe we will never see another Cortana directly enabled speaker like the Invoke was. I don't think we'll see one.
How about on the desktop?
Well, I don't. You've got Amazon's Assistant on the desktop now.
On some devices.
It's in Windows 10 now.
I don't understand.
I think it's in the store, isn't it? I don't think it's limited to specific devices. I think anybody can get it. I might be wrong, but I am wrong about that because I'm not seeing it in the store when I search for it by name. So, yeah, I guess it's not there yet. But, yeah, I think Windows 10 as a desktop operating system is going to be probably the last place that we see it disappear from. But I think it's coming. When? Let's say the next spring update.
All right.
So about a year from now.
Okay.
All right. And that's going to do it for our news.
We wrap our news with a prediction.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's fun. Next time you have to make the ballsy prediction.
Hey, I'm still riding on my laurels of predicting that Windows 8 would be a huge failure. All right. Let us talk about what's going on in our entertainment centers. My Big Rip project is complete. In total, I believe I took 2.5 terabytes of storage for my 40?
Holy cow.
Maybe a little bit more than that. Somewhere between 40 and 50 movies.
You have somewhere between 40 and 50 UHD Blu-rays?
Yes.
Holy, that's got to be almost all of them that are available.
It is far from that, but yeah, because that's all I buy now. If I buy a movie,
sure,
I am only going to buy it in UHD if it's available in UHD.
Right. Of course.
So I am happy that that's over. Now,
I bet
I have to make the decision. Do I delete the Blu-ray versions of those? Because I know that those Blu-ray versions will play everywhere on all devices.
Right.
So I need to see how reliable this is across the different devices in my entertainment center. As I mentioned before, I've been having problems in Xbox, so I need to work that one out. But yeah, I'm all caught up. I'm very happy.
And remind us again what problems you were having on the Xbox.
Just constant stuttering. Just
Oh, okay.
It could not keep the stream going consistently without stopping like every 10 seconds to buffer.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was intolerable.
And you're doing this on a wired network connection.
Oh, yeah. And everything's on the same switch. So I don't understand what's going on. The only thing that I haven't done yet is I haven't tried a hard reboot, like unplug it, of my Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really going to be my next thing.
Yeah. If you don't want to crawl around behind it, you can just hold the power button on the front for like 10 seconds.
It's a Windows machine. So inevitably, it's probably going to get some cruft if it's just sure. on forever, right?
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens to the best of us.
All right. So I have also been keeping up with Westworld, almost finished season 3 of Archer. I've watched a couple episodes of Arrow, the Flash and Designated Survivor from this past spring, but I'm still not up to speed on those. ABC canceled Roseanne, so I've watched my last episode of Roseanne.
Right.
We got back to Stranger Things 2 and powered through that in 3 days.
Wow.
So 9 episodes. It was awesome. Really enjoyed it. Very different from the first season, but I still liked it. I think it was really good. And I'm eagerly anticipating the third installment. I have no idea when that's coming. Meanwhile, season 4, which is going to be the final season of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, has hit Netflix. Also, Arrested Development season 5 has hit Netflix. I have not seen any of Arrested Development yet for season 5, but I did watch the first episode of season 4 of Kimmy. And if that episode is any indicator, it will be better than season 3, which is a really good thing. Also, this weekend, we tried something different. We tried Vudu's movies that you can watch for free with ads. And we used that to watch Open Season 2. Seen it before. It's a fun, brainless background movie that you can have on. Let me tell you a little bit about Vudu's free movies with ad service.
Please.
Have you ever used this?
No. No, I when this was first announced, I glanced at the library and said, there's nothing in here I even want to see for free.
Well, there are some things maybe people would argue with my choice, but in any event, the ads that they play are interjected at no discernible logical point. They just randomly pop up in the middle of a sentence sometimes.
In the middle of a sentence?
They don't make any effort to try and put them in a logical break. They're just obviously at time markers based on the length of the movie. And when they play super loud, just like you used to deal with on television. And we have legislation in place that makes that illegal now.
Right.
But it's not illegal on a streaming service. So they play the ad super loud. They had one ad. You know what it was for? It was for Vudu's free movies with ads. I mean, come on.
Wow. So I'm looking at the list of movies now. There's one movie on here worth watching.
What's that?
The Net with Sandra Bullock from 1995. Do you remember that movie?
I might disagree with your assessment that that's worth watching. All right. Well, we also watched a movie for real, and that's a movie called A Monster Calls. I'll ask you again, Josh, do you know anything about this movie?
I've never even heard of it.
This is an unexpectedly, surprisingly wonderful movie. It is a tearjerker. It is not at all what I expected. It's something that Edward bought when I was traveling. And he's like, you got to watch this. You got to watch this. It's really good. Wasn't what I expected. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, then why did you buy it? But it was so good. I had tears in my eyes when it was over. It was just so good. If you're up for a very good, sincere, uplifting movie, uplifting but sad at the same time, believe it or not, kind of weird. Yeah, this is a cool movie. I highly recommend it. That is it for me. Josh, what have you been doing? I know it's hockey season and your team is not playing, so are you still watching hockey?
You just have to keep bringing that up, don't you? yes, I am still watching. Not every single game the way I was when my beloved Penguins were still in it. But you got to let other teams win the Stanley Cup from time to time. So the Penguins are doing that.
Oh, you mean like my team?
You don't have a team. Freaking bandwagon fan. Just because you live close to that team doesn't make it your team. Anyway, yes, I am watching the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm very disappointed in how the Vegas Golden Knights have completely blown it so far in this series, and that Washington is almost definitely going to win the Stanley Cup, probably in the very next game. That deeply saddens me. I never, ever wanted to see Alexander Ovechkin hoisting the Stanley Cup, and I'm probably going to have to see it this week. So, yeah, I'm not happy about that. Let's move on. I saw a movie two times in theaters, a little movie called Solo. Obviously, no spoilers here. We're not a spoiler show. Richard, have you seen Solo?
I have. I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I wouldn't go that far, but I liked it. I liked it better than Rogue One.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it better than probably all of the prequels, because, I mean, maybe Episode 3 is better, but I'm not even sure. I thought overall it was decent. I loved Lando Calrissian. He was phenomenal.
Yep.
I I would have rather had Lando, a Star Wars story, than Solo, a Star Wars story, because he's such a cool character and played
Not surprising. I knew he would rock that role. I mean,
yeah,
brilliant casting and the just the personality that he has perfectly. You wouldn't necessarily expect him to be like that character from knowing him in the later films, mm-hmm. but it aligns perfectly with the Lando that we know.
Right. Right. So good. Yeah. So loved that aspect of it. It was pretty good. Also, I finally finished Final Fantasy 15. This is the first time I've ever actually completed a Final Fantasy game. It took me about 36, 37 hours, I think it was. Whoa. One of those two. It was long and mostly good. But if you want to hear all about it, you should check out the last six episodes of our Story Players podcast where we were playing through that while I was playing it on my Xbox One. And Joe was playing it, the pocket edition of the game, on his Android phone. But now, as of this week, that pocket edition, if you're interested in checking it out, it's available in the Windows 10 store. You can go in and clicky-clicky with your mouse instead of your finger on your phone. So you could play it on your Surface or whatever. And the first episode, that's broken down into 10 episodes. The first episode is free for you to check out. Go and check it out. And then listen to the first episode in our series for it of Story Players. It was cool. And then also started playing the next game. We don't normally announce this at a time, but I'm just going to announce it anyway. We've known that we were going to play this game for a long, long time for Story Players, and that is Detroit Become Human. It's a PlayStation exclusive. Yeah, I've only played an hour and a half of it so far. This is absolutely the right game to be playing for Story Players. Yeah, go and get... Well, I guess I can't necessarily recommend the game yet since I'm only an hour and a half into it, but it already seems perfectly built for people who love the types of games that we play on Story Players. So that is cool, and I will continue playing that. And that's it. I haven't done or watched anything else.
That's still a lot for you.
It kind of is. I'm really, like, I still haven't finished the last episode of Mr. Robot. Like, I need to just do that. I'm really missing Homeland. I think I'm two seasons behind on Homeland at this point. I'm really missing The Americans. I'm two or three seasons behind on that. I need to find some time for those things because I do miss them.
Yep. All right, before we get out of here, one quick announcement, update, note, one quick note.
Something you should know.
Yeah, something you should know. Da, na, na, na. So you may recall the name Marcus Lyons. Marcus is an Xbox. What do they call those these days?
Oh, gosh. Well, it was Insider.
MVPs? Insiders? Ambassadors? I don't know what they call them these days.
I can't keep it all straight. He might be an Xbox ambassador.
But he's one of those guys. And in the past, he has contributed to the DMZ. He's been on this show, actually, in the past. And he has started a new blogging project, a new writing project called Project Downtime. And that is essentially his thoughts and news and information about what's going on in the technology space that you can take advantage of in your downtime. Like, what kind of stuff would you be messing with in your downtime? So it's a lot of Xbox stuff, but it's not necessarily gaming. It's kind of everything in the periphery. So it aligns pretty well with the kind of stuff that we talk about here and that we write about. So if you like what we're doing, I suspect that you will probably also like what Marcus is writing about. So check it out. It's at projectdowntime.com.
Very cool. Congratulations, Marcus, on the new site. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. If you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. And the website is DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/thedmz. You can also check out our other podcast. Richard's got one that he does that's amazing and is all about smart home technology. It is called Home On. Richard, what's going on with the latest Home On?
The new episode, which is either already in your feed or days away, depending on how the next couple of days go for me, is going to include the interviews that I had at Light Fair. Now, you may be thinking, but Richard, last time you said what's up next, you said you'd be talking with Adam Justice and you'd be having a draft about what's going on at WWDC. In fact, he and I did that. But instead of releasing that on Home On, we released that on the Connected Home Show. And that's his podcast that has more of a HomeKit bent to it.
Mm.
I'm going to get Adam on Home On because he's at WWDC right now. And so we'll be talking about stuff that's going on in the HomeKit and Apple space on an upcoming episode that may be really soon, or it may be a little ways out. You can tell that things are a little bit nebulous right now. A lot of it is depending on his recording schedule, but that'll be coming out soon. And like I said, next up, the Light Fair interviews and some other light. I don't know what that word is. It's a homonym? Homonym. Other light news. I mean that in both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. It works both ways. Some light news. All right. And then I already talked about Story Players, our other podcast here at the DMZ, where we play story-driven video games. Like I said, last six episodes were all our walkthrough of Final Fantasy 15. That is all done. That last episode released this week. So go and check those out if you haven't already. And I don't know when the next one comes out. we haven't really decided that, and we're not done playing through Detroit Become Human yet. So that's that makes it harder to pick a release date for it when you're not even done with the game. So that'll be soon-ish. It will be the next episode. I just don't have a date for it yet.
So I'm kind of psyched that you have a complete series now, six episodes of you guys playing through Final Fantasy 15. I mean, I have to wonder, I don't know, maybe there's a lot of that out there, but I have to wonder how many podcasts actually have like a complete end-to-end, here's our take on how this progressed for us. I think that's really cool.
Well, thanks. I don't know of anybody who's done anything quite like that. And now we've done it for two games, Final Fantasy 15 and Mass Effect Andromeda. So yeah, they're hard and a lot of work, man. I was adding up the hours with Joe just the other day. Holy cow. Yeah. Let's not go there. All right. One place we would like to go is our live show. You can join us there on Tuesday nights at 8:30 PM Eastern. Usually we didn't do it this week because I've been feeling like garbage. So it's my fault that we weren't live this week. You know, most weeks, Tuesday nights, 8:30 PM Eastern for the live show where you can see us in video. And there's a chat room where you can, you know, give your feedback and your news and thoughts on things as we're recording the show and make it into the show with us. So we always have a ton of fun. And hopefully you'll see our tweets about that for the next episode, because that's going to do it for episode 449. He's Richard Gunther and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.